Is that who is that?
The God, like the Lyle. Devil dog is in here. He's totally evil. Lyle's trying to move him away from me. Take him out.
I can't.
Yes, I can't grab him.
All right, let's start. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm back with one sexy British man, Mr. Leander Caney. Hey, Leander. This is becoming a bad habit. Yeah. I've also got my rock, my platonic male partner, Buster Honey.
Hey, man. Buster.
Hey.
What's up?
How's it going?
It's going. It's awesome.
I'm so glad to be back on the Cultcast with you guys, and so much great stuff to talk about this episode. But before we dive into all the juicy bits, let me just say, I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to do that. Let me just say this episode is sponsored by Squarespace. Boy, you know, I was talking to the guys over at Squarespace, and they're just the nicest people. If you need a website, maybe you're a photographer, maybe you're trying to start an e-commerce site, maybe you need to start a blog, you need to go check out Squarespace. They have cloud hosting, fantastic customer support. They're just the nicest people and really excellent web hosting. And their template system allows you to create a website really fast, really easily. Plus, it's scalable. So you create a website and they do a bunch of magic behind the scenes and your website's going to look good on an iPhone, an iPad, on a MacBook. Go check them out. We'll talk about them later in the show too. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast. And sign up for a free trial. It takes about 15 seconds. They don't even ask for your credit card information or anything like that. And if you like it, use the code CULTCAST5 at checkout, and you can save some money off your order. And also, we're going to be giving away a couple prizes later in the show. A friend of mine owns a company called Thrill Boy, and we talked about his ICEO doll. Gosh, it was probably 4 or 5 months ago. And these things totally sold out. They are Steve Jobs-inspired plush toys. I have one sitting right in front of me on my desk, actually. And they totally sold out, but he is giving two to us to give away to our fans. And once these things, you can't buy them anymore. Once he's giving away a bunch on his Kickstarter, which we'll talk about. But once they're gone forever. So you'll never be able to get another one. They're collector's items. So you're going to want to stick around for that. We'll talk about that after the break. Yes, I am still battling a cold. One of our Twitter followers commented that I sound like I'm constipated.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
He's very perceptive. That's my problem. And if I sound a little hoarse, sorry about that. And I also want to give a quick... Hey, thank you.
That was not a good hoarse impression.
Hold on, let me try again. Hold on. No. How about that?
Even better.
See, closer. In the room I'm in, it sounds pretty good, but I'm sure over the mic.
You gotta get the neighing in there, though. I'm not gonna. Yeah. There you go.
I want to give a shout out to Pietro Montanarella, because he tweeted to me right before the show, and he said that he is about to finish a full Cultcast marathon, and I believe this is episode 70. So he's listened to probably 70 hours of us talking and being brilliant and absolute idiots on this show.
Wow.
Probably he's more of the latter.
Listen to all 70, huh?
All 70. And he said it was great hearing the show from the beginning again. Great work. But then I was looking at his Twitter feed, and his next tweet, or his tweet right before this, was to Hawaii 5-0 at the CBS show. and he said, terrible episode yesterday. I really hope it goes back to normal next week. So I was like, great. If we screw up, he's just going to lament us on Twitter.
Hypocritical. So,
Pietro, we're going to try our best to keep up this high quality show. We're really going to try.
I just hope we can match Hawaii 5-0, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't even know that show was still on.
Either.
Apparently, it's still going strong. Hey, let's start with the big news of the week, since we've already wasted, about 10 minutes here. Bloomberg and All Things D have been reporting about iOS. Bloomberg said that the next version of iOS, iOS 7, was possibly going to be delayed. And that made me sad. But then All Things D followed up and said, in fact, it's not going to be delayed. They're changing a bunch of stuff, and Apple is pulling engineers from other projects to complete it, and they're thinking that it's going to be done by summer.
Yeah.
Were you about to pipe in, Buster?
Yeah, I was just going to say they feel like they're going to get it out just in time.
And this is kind of what happened with, oh gosh, was it Snow Leopard, where they had to pull a bunch of engineers off of iPhone to get Snow Leopard done?
There was something like that.
So this kind of seems status quo for Apple. So I'm still excited. I'm really, really excited for iOS 7. You got to think. So Johnny Ive, I've been reading a lot about this. Inside sources have said that he is saying hasta la vista to skeuomorphism, and it's going bye-bye. We are never, and I'm sure he said that when and they that, asked him. And,
yeah, right.
When, Leander, you do it because you have a British accent. You probably sound more
He's
like
saying
him.
Toodaloo.
Toodles.
Yeah, exactly. It's ta-ta for now.
He's ta-ta for now to skeuomorphism. Right. And I heard one person, one insider report that they were, deforestalling
Deforestalling iOS.
Deforestalling iOS 7, which is kind of mean. What mean?
That,
mean
that is kind of a mean thing, mean way to put it.
I know, yeah, it's totally mean.
I mean, I feel forestall was kind of like really just following what Steve Jobs liked. I felt like, you know, he's trying to make him happy and championing that. So I don't know, although it was his fault.
So we're talking about Scott Forstall, who was working on iOS previously, lover of skeuomorphism. So like that cheeky... I think Game Center is actually a really good example now. It just looks like a casino table, you know, and there's just crap everywhere in that app.
Right.
And it looks like an actual casino. What?
One of the most amazing things about the iPhone and the iPad that I think people forget now was that you could go in and you could pick it up and you knew immediately how to use it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and this is a time when a lot of other consumer products, you know, and still do come in manuals. I mean, how many consumer electronic items can you buy that don't have a manual, that are immediately obvious how you use it? And a lot of that has to do with this so-called skeuomorphism, because, you know, they're representing something in the real world.
Right.
In this digital realm. And so I think it's kind of like he's getting a lot of flack, I think, for I think what is like some ugly skeuomorphism, you know, like where they use that leather look and they make the calendar look like a ridiculous old, you know, desktop calendar that no one's ever used.
Right. Yeah.
For 30 years. So, you know, like the metaphors, you know, like it's kind of, I think the problem is that it was ugly, not necessarily that they were necessarily using these analog metaphors.
Right.
I don't think it's given credit for that really. I mean, you know, like now, of course, you know, how long is it? 5 years later, you know, people don't need to be sort of introduced to iOS in that kind of, you know, take those baby steps. You know, we're all ready for something more sophisticated now, I think.
Mm-hmm. See, but are we? That's my big question is, like, if you strip away all the skeuomorphism with it, the reason why the iPhone's so successful, like you said, is like Erfan's mom or my parents, you know,
they're
they
talking
can
about my mom.
Pick up an iPad or an iPhone and like they can use it really easily. If you take away the skeuomorphism, will that be harder, and will Apple kind of lose, you know, some of its appeal to those older users?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, my mom knows how to use FaceTime really well, and she knows how to use iMessage, and those aren't skeuomorphic in their design. So,
right.
If my mom can use them, though, that's saying a lot, because we are polar opposites when it comes to being able to function with technology.
Well, she's more sophisticated than you are?
Yes. Well, exactly, precisely.
Those are really simple apps. Plus, I mean, the whole thing about skeuomorphism, I think, is like, it's kind of, there's a lot of skeuomorphic stuff in there that people don't know is skeuomorphic. Like, any kind of button is, you know, I mean, that's taken from basically from analog design, you know, from like old stereos or TVs that had buttons on them. And you hit buttons in a digital interface. I mean, you know, that in the strictest sense, I think that is skeuomorphic. That, you know, a lot of the digital interfaces are actually recreations of the kind of interfaces used to get on old stereos, you know, like in like the iTunes app or whatever. So I don't know, there's like a, I think it's, you know, it's like a spectrum, isn't it, of different you know, different levels, and there's no such thing as getting rid of skeuomorphism altogether.
I think that's a really good point. You're right. Some skeuomorphism is great. And I know you guys always make fun of me for liking the podcast app. But I thought those freaking tape wheels that they had were great. And I was sorry to see it go. Although the new podcast app is definitely much, much improved.
Yeah.
But you got to think, Jonny Ive is under so much pressure right now because the consensus from a lot of the inside sources that I've read is they expect something big. Like iOS 7 has to be different. Everyone is kind of getting bored with iOS, and it really needs a coat of paint at least. Hopefully it's going to get some major new functionality, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a few new features and then it's a totally new skin. But it sounds like things are going really well. I mean, Jonny has gotten the hardware and the software division talking again, which I guess they weren't before.
Well, they never did.
Which, that kind of seems like Apple's shtick, right? Like, why would you not have them talking when you are controlling the hardware production and the software production? Like, isn't that their whole thing?
Well, they never did. They just talked through Steve Jobs. I mean, Jobs and his other executives were the ones who did the talking.
Yeah, you didn't want everybody talking because you didn't want everybody to know the secrets, you know, for the entire product. So you kept everything separate. Like, software only talks to their own software team working on this one button, you know?
So I guess they were all just really compartmentalized.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the iPhone designers, when they were designing the iPhone, they just had a picture of this home screen with some icons on it.
that is so kind of demeaning, isn't it? Like, you're working on this project and they won't even let you look at the device. They're just like, here's a piece of paper as a representation of what the screen's going to look like.
Yeah, I know, crazy. But that's how I kept it a secret. No one knew what it looked like when it came out, though, you know.
Yeah, except for Steve Jobs. It's kind of like at Coca-Cola, how they only let like certain people mix like one or two ingredients each, so no one actually knows what goes into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Well, Jonny was one of those guys. I mean, he's always been involved, and he was actually, like, in the early days of the iMac, they did, I think this is one of the few times that they allowed the engineers and the hardware designers to do some software design. They were actually designing the home screen of, like, Mac OS 9 to match the colors of the iMacs, the early iMacs, mm-hmm. the G3 iMacs. So that they, you know, that when you booted it up, it looked like the outside of the computer you were using. So it sounds like it's kind of like, you know, more of the same.
Are you learning a lot of new details about Jonny Ive now that your book's coming to completion here?
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Leander's actually writing, like, one of the first ever Jonny Ive was an unauthorized biography, essentially, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
And I know it's going to be released here any day, right, Leander?
Yeah, later this year.
later year. I'm not saying what year.
Yeah, it's later this year it's going to be out.
How do you guys feel about the kind of...
Can you hear me drinking my tea?
No, please sip louder. How do you guys feel about the kind of word going around that Jonny Ive is going to make iOS much flatter and simpler, and it's just going to look more basic than it does now?
The way I view that is, I think kind of people are expecting iOS 7 to kind of completely blow you away with, like, just completely redesigned.
I'm really hoping for that, yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think there's going to be a couple things that are redesigned with flatter surfaces and stuff like that. I don't think they're going to be, like, and then, you know, next iOS 8, then you're going to have, like, more in-depth of that to where everything's kind of been redone. I think it'll be, like, multiple steps, like 3 years. By iOS 9, you'll see its full impact on it all.
You're probably right. It's probably too much work to do in 1 year.
Right, just because iOS wasn't built in 1 year, you know?
Right.
If you're going to redesign it, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, and it's risky too, I think.
Yeah. What if people give bad reactions to, like, the changes and everything? Then maybe they'll have to, it's better for them to go step by step. That way they're doing it.
Apple Maps.
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh. Yeah, it might be better to do incremental releases. Yeah, that's probably,
Well, Apple Maps is awesome. I mean, if it looked like Apple Maps, I'd be all over it. I think it's beautiful looking.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's definitely beautiful. And when it works, you know, it's fantastic. It's my favorite Maps app. But, Leander, when it doesn't work, it's awful.
I just discovered a new thing, actually.
Really bad.
If you zoom all the way out, have you seen that where it turns into the globe?
No.
If you zoom out, if you keep zooming out, you know, from the country level and then the continent level, and then it goes into a globe, and it's amazing. It's totally, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, is it actually useful?
I haven't. Really, but... I can't make it go into a globe. What?
Do it on the iPad.
Oh, it spins around like it's a globe.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Not like, you don't actually see it as a sphere, though, do you?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not looking.
It does on the iPad. I'm trying to do it on my iPhone now. It doesn't work, but it does on the iPad. It goes into a globe.
Oh, you have to be in satellite view. That's what it is. Oh,
hey, let's talk about hardware for a moment. I'm a little sad. We haven't seen hardware in a long time, and we mentioned last show that if we get to WWDC and have not seen hardware, new hardware by that date, it will have been 232 days since Apple has released anything. I don't think we're going to see any new hardware between now and then, and I don't think we're going to see any new hardware at WWDC.
I do. I think we saw that somebody said that there's going to be all new MacBooks at WWDC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that wouldn't really surprise me at all because, you know, it's developers. So that would make sense. Just like everything gets a spec bump or maybe, I don't know, if I doubt the MacBook Air would get a Retina display by this WWDC, but.
Okay, well, I hope you're right, because one of the things I was thinking is if we don't get new Macs by WWDC, that means they're going to release everything in the fall. They have to, right? Because they have to get ready before Christmas. The new iPhone will come out. The new iPads will come out.
Right.
And that sets us up to only having hardware released once a year from now on, which would be awful for all of us, because it sucks when Apple doesn't release new hardware, doesn't it?
Just it's more boring. That's for
it's
sure.
Super boring. You know? It's like they're. I feel like we're all getting excited about what's going on, and they're just kind of kicking back. And then once a year, you know, Tim Cook comes out in his Santa Claus outfit, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like the most fit, you know, Santa Claus that you've ever seen. He's terribly handsome too, and you're like, that's not Santa Claus. But then he starts giving out all this new Apple stuff,
yeah.
And you're like, it is Christmas, y'all. And I don't want that to happen. Like, I liked it better before when they were releasing like hardware like, twice a year.
When they had, they would have announcements like once every quarter. You know, they would have at least sometimes four events a year. And now it seems like they've gone down to just two. You know.
Yeah, and the great thing about new hardware more often is that we would hear rumors, and then we would get to talk about those rumors, and then the hardware would get released, and then we keep doing that cycle over and over again. So I want to bring this up. I was thinking about this the other day, and then we'll head to break. Tim Cook, when he took office, if you will, said he's going to double down on secrecy, y'all. And I was thinking about it, and I think he did. I think he did it. We're hearing nothing. I mean, we have new hardware potentially coming out at WWDC. We know practically nothing about iOS 7. Uh-huh. We know hardly anything about the new iPhone, except for some of the rumors we're going to cover after the break. By the way, stick around. And we know that the new iPad might look like the iPad mini. Did he succeed?
Yeah.
Did he double down on secrecy, y'all?
He's tripled down.
I think he tripled down. He's raising the roof.
Yeah, I think people have underestimated how well he's done on that, because there's been, you know, hardware leaks have been pretty scarce.
Yeah.
While he's been in charge, and software leaks, you know, you haven't heard too much about it.
No, well, not at all.
Have there been any iPhone 5S parts leaked or anything like that? You know, there's always...
There was like a home button and like the volume.
Really, really titillating news.
There was like
a breaking iPhone 5S.
Yeah, there was like the vibration thing inside of it was leaked.
A little
or
vibrator?
Something. Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
Hey, I took my son's iPhone 4 apart the other day. What a beautiful thing that is. My God.
On the inside?
Yeah. Dude. Really nicely put together. Amazing.
I would be scared to.
I was scared to too, and because there was a couple of extra screws left over.
Well, my father liked phone.
I replaced the screen on my iPhone 3G, and it was just like horrible.
Well, they get better, I think, year after year. Although the trouble is, he cracked his screen on the iPhone 4, and the thing is that you take it apart from the back, so the back comes off real easy, two screws, and then you got to take out everything, you know. To get to the screen at the front, so you dismantle the whole thing. But it was actually, you know, like really beautifully put together. I was really impressed with it.
Did you shed a tear? Did you get all teary eyed?
I put it on Instagram and I got about 400 likes.
Oh,
did you really?
No, about 40.
Hey, 40's pretty good.
It was more than I normally get.
Hey, Leander, what is your Twitter or your Instagram handle, by the way?
L Caney.
That's right. And Buster, what's yours?
BST3R.
And mine's at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Hey, you know, why not? Why not? Follow us, guys. Sometimes I do, like, pretty scantily clad selfies.
So, oh, I love them.
Yeah.
The wiener selfies.
the wiener. I saved those for Snapchat.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, hey, we need to take a quick break. I'm going to tell you guys about Squarespace. But when we get back, we are going to be talking about iPhone 5S rumors. You're definitely going to want to hear that. We're going to be talking about some potential iOS 7 features that I think are actually really cool. And we're doing faves and raves. Plus, we're giving away some ICEOs. So definitely stick around. We'll be right back, y'all. That's Tim Cook Soprano. Leander Buster.
What's up, man?
You know what I'm really into?
Chocolate.
And web hosting. And chocolate web hosting is one of my favorite things. But that's why I love telling you guys about Squarespace. Because Squarespace is one of the best web hosts on the entire internet web. They're just fantastic. Let me tell you what you can do with Squarespace. You can sign up for an account. It takes about 15 seconds, Buster. Mm-hmm. It's really easy, and you don't even have to give them your credit card number, which I know makes you really happy.
Yes.
And then you can build a website, and they have a great template system. So you just pick the kind of website you want to build, and you just start dropping pieces in, dropping pieces in, dropping pieces in. And guess what? Before you know it, your website's ready. It even integrates easily with your social media. You're going to have a fully functional website. You never have to touch any code. Buster, I know you hate touching code.
Yeah.
You'd rather be stroking your beard as you're building a templated website, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So why wouldn't you check out Squarespace? You know, you can build a website so fast. If you're a photographer, if you're trying to get set up on an e-commerce system, they just added some new e-commerce functionality. You can have a blog. You can start all sorts of crazy websites with Squarespace. And the great part is they totally scale it for you. You build one website, and they're going to make it look good on an iPhone, an iPad, a Mac. You could even make it look good on a Samsung Galaxy 4S. I mean, S4. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that we will look good on. So let me encourage you guys to try it out. Head over to squarespace.com/cultcast. Sign up for an account. Play around with it. And if you like it, you can buy a month of service, a year of service. Whatever you buy, you can save 10% off your order with the code CULTCAST5. That's the number 5. And give it a shot. I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring us. We really appreciate their sponsorship. There's that horse again. It's back in the room. Hey, I promised you guys we're going to give away some ICEO dolls. So let's do that. Well, we're not going to give them away yet, but we're going to tell you how. So here's what I want you to do. Head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. And tell us what you're going to do with your little buddy, the ICEO. Maybe places you'll take him, outfits you're going to dress him in. Let me just describe this little guy to you. He has the round Steve Jobs-inspired glasses. He's got the stubble. He's got the sly smile. He's got the mock turtleneck and the denim jeans. I mean, this is the real deal. You guys are going to want one of these. And my good pal Throwboy is giving us 2 to give away because he's having a Kickstarter. So his business has been great. They do those great chat pillows that you've probably seen. We've had them on Cultomatic. They've been on all sorts of blogs. They're doing a Kickstarter, and one of the prizes is this ICEO doll. So if you support the Kickstarter, you could probably just buy one. I think the support level is $100. Or you could grab yourself a chat pillow or something at another support level. Just go to throwboy.com/Kickstarter if you're interested in that. And they would love your support, by the way. And you can win one of these ICEOs on our Facebook page. Just let us know why you want it. And we're going to give away 2. What do you think, Buster? Should we give them away next show? Maybe announce the winners next show?
No, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. And like I said, you guys are not going to want to miss out on these. These things are freaking cool. And once they are given away on the Kickstarter, they're going to be gone forever. No more ICEOs. And maybe they'll do an IWAS, but, you know.
Oh, I can't wait for the IWAS. He's going to be so cuddly.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more polyfill on that one, but it's going to be a cute doll.
Can't wait for that.
only a little bit more. Hey, and before we jump back into the iPhone rumors, I want to read you guys this really fast. I got an email today from a listener, Scott Helmchen. I almost said that wrong. He writes for the Suburban Chicago Entertainment newspaper and website, Northwest Herald and planetnorthwest.com. And he said, I wanted to write to you guys and say I really enjoy the cult cast. I enjoy it so much, I included it in our weekly Five Faves and Raves feature, which is attached.
Nice.
In print as a podcast. I like how I read that it's attached. You guys can't see the email, obviously.
I can imagine it, though. Yeah,
it's yeah, it looks really good. Let me just tell you that right now. So I want to thank Scott for featuring us. He wrote a really nice blurb about us on his website. I checked it out, and I was like, you know what? Thank you. Thank you, Scott, for promoting us. We really appreciate that, and we're glad that you're enjoying the cult cast. Hey, let's talk about some 5S rumors, shall we? This one's pretty solid. So the rumor is that the next iPhone is going to have a 1080p front-facing FaceTime camera.
Right. Do you care about something like that?
I do. You don't care about that?
This like kind of nuts.
I mean, I guess that's nice.
1080p for a front-facing camera?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's nice. I just never really use my front-facing camera. My selfie vines are going to look great, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's like, that's the part about it that I'm excited about.
Is all right, now we're on the same level.
Okay, now we're on the same page. So OmniVision, who makes the iPhone camera.
We know why
camera.
It's 1080p. This is for the Apple TV, right?
Oh.
I'm just making this up, but
we assumed as much.
I mean, like, you know, if you're sitting in the living room and you're talking to your auntie in Australia and she, you know, she's got it, and you're interfacing with your TV, it's going to look awesome. Right. In fact, I was actually doing that with my mother. I FaceTimed her in New Zealand. She just flew out there for a whole day. She's in between flights and FaceTime me. And I'm like, it's totally amazing. Amazing. You know, I thought I was really blown away.
I'd do it, I think.
If you had parents?
Yeah, well, if they lived in a different city.
His parents were at Wolves. Did you not know that Buster was raised by
I'm
Wolves?
I'm an orphan.
Yeah. That's why he licks himself so much.
Well, maybe you can FaceTime with my mother.
All right.
For a nominal fee.
She's like,
nominal fees apply. What were you going to say, Leander, before I rudely interrupted
you? You know, it sounds really stupid, but I was really impressed by the fact that you could do this kind of, you know, video conference across the world. I know I don't get out much.
I'm so shocked about video conferencing. I love it.
Leander's favorite rave pick is going to be FaceTime.
FaceTime!
Have you guys tried FaceTime? How long has this been here?
Good one. Thanks. Actually, I got a better one, but...
Okay, well, don't reveal it yet. So let me finish the rumor. So OmniVision, who makes the current iPhone 5 front-facing camera, has just announced a new version that has a 1080p sensor. So it's going to have a 2-megapixel camera as opposed to the iPhone 5's 1.2-megapixel sensor. And it goes into production this summer. So with any hope, we're going to see that in the next iPhone 5S. Are you guys on the 5 cycle, or are you on the 5S cycle?
I upgrade every year because I have a family plan and there's multiple phone lines, so I usually just use somebody else's.
You just steal one of your siblings' upgrades?
Yeah, I do. They're not using it. Use it or you lose it.
I wish I could steal. Your sister's like, I've been trying to upgrade, but every time I go to AT&T, they tell me that I don't qualify. It's been like 6 years.
Right. Actually, it's like both my parents are on it, so... they never upgrade their phone, so yeah, they just, you know,
their raises
theirs.
That's hilarious. And the other one, I was really excited about this. So last show we talked about the iBeetle, that really lame car that's trying to integrate with the iPhone. So this rumor is it comes from Mark Gurman of 9to5Mac, and he was reporting that Siri and maps are going to be much more heavily integrated in future cars. And this is exactly, Buster, you're my witness. I said, what I don't like about current cars is the GPS technology. A lot of the tech that's built into the cars, it looks like horse dung.
It looks terrible,
and it's slow. And it never made sense to me that you have this beautiful iPhone that the maps look great, right? Like Apple Maps look fantastic. The interface is top-notch. And then you plug it into this car that takes over the interface. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So Apple is rumored to be working with car manufacturers to make the iPhone and Siri integrate with their cars in a way where when you're interacting with them, you're actually going to be interfacing with the UI from Apple software. Plus, you might be able to control like Apple Maps and stuff through your car. My only concern is Siri.
Like, why?
Do you use Siri yet?
No, I don't. Why it's not a concern for me.
Did you see that heartwarming image that I sent earlier to the Twittersphere?
It was beautiful, man.
Where I said, call Buster Heine. And Siri said, did you say call Buster Honey? Did you mean call Buster Heine? And yeah. I'm like, yes. That's exactly what I said. That's what I meant, Siri. Freaking A. Siri never understands what I say, and I swear it's getting worse.
See, that's why I never use it, because it never has understood me that well.
And Leander, are you having problems with it still, or is it actually working?
Yeah, sometimes it works great, and sometimes it doesn't work at all. It takes a couple of times for it not to work, and you go, stuff.
Yeah, it makes you furious.
Yeah.
And I've never actually kept track, but I'd say my success rate with Siri is maybe 15%.
I was actually going to give it a concerted effort to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think, it is clearly a great way to use it. If it worked,
you could
only get it to work, but I'm hoping that it's a question of training it and just, learning the tips and tricks.
Yeah.
Someone said that if you address it, hey Siri, do this, it works. Or maybe it was the opposite. I can't remember, but
But Siri debuted on iPhone 4S, right? Mm-hmm. So it's been a year and a half since it's been out, and it still sucks. It never works for me, ever. I mean, never works for me. And if I were to use it in a car, not only would I constantly be not looking at the road, I'd be trying to look at the screen, talking to my phone, but it makes me angry, which makes me an even worse driver, because I'm getting so pissed that Siri does not understand anything that I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, it is frustrating. But doesn't Microsoft Sync? That uses a voice interface too, right?
It does, yeah.
And isn't that pretty good?
I have heard that it's terrible. I've never used it though.
Did you see that demo that the Microsoft researcher got up on stage and he was doing real time translation into Chinese using Microsoft?
I think I did see that.
That was amazing. I mean, that was amazing, amazing, amazing. And, I did some reading around when that came out, and they were saying that, like, in the lab, they have, 99% recognition for speech interfaces these days. Like, they are really, really good.
I don't believe that.
And they're rolling it out into, I called Apple. If you call Apple these days and you try to get some service, the computer answers and ask you what you want.
And eventually you just hang up in frustration, which is their whole goal.
The first time it worked great. The first time I called them up, I was trying to get through this. I can't remember but it worked fantastic. I had to phone them up again, and it totally bombed. Huh. And I was like, what the hell happened? How did it go from great to rubbish?
Your Siri experience.
I was wondering whether it was like, just overload, traffic. Because I mean, people were saying that with Siri, like, Siri's a lot better if you call it in off peak at times. If you call it in the morning or in the middle of the night, like people apparently in the UK get better with Siri than they do in the States, because the America's asleep when people in the UK are using it.
You know what voice recognition software works great is the one that you get when you call like UPS. That always works for me. And it's like, what would you like to do? And you're like, I want to talk to an operator. And it goes, and it's like, operator.
So that's it?
That's what it does. Well, you can you can say more than that, but you can't use sentences, obviously. So it's not as robust as Siri is. Well, I was going to say as robust as Siri, but Siri doesn't know what I'm saying either in full sentences. Well, so at least one words are working.
I did some research into like the system that Siri came out of. It was a DARPA, military technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the one they have working in the lab does all kinds of reasoning. Hmm. So it's more reason than Siri does. And it also understands context. And some researcher that I talked to when I was researching this was saying, yeah, this thing is amazing. It's almost like having a conversation with a human.
Wow. I mean, that's the promise, right? I mean, that's what Apple shows you in the commercials when Samuel L. Jackson is cooking his gazpacho.
Yeah.
He's like making jokes with Siri and they're both laughing and it's like, ha, ah, you're funny, Samuel L. Jackson.
I just watched Django Unchained.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Have you watched it yet?
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Yeah. Okay.
What, have you not seen it?
No, and probably half our audience hasn't either.
What are you talking about? It's on DVD. It's been out forever.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched a DVD since 2002 when they went out of style. Oh! Yeah, put that in your electric hookah. You know that one that John gave you?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
So what were we talking about?
Yeah, good call. Hey, it's time for a faves and raves. This is the segment, of course, where we pitch our favorite app and tech and then vote on which one's best. Mine is it's good. You guys,
is it? Wait, are you guys not doing apps?
I am doing an app.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I am doing an app. And I'm doing this app so good. You guys are going to love it. And actually, this app was a listener suggestion. Somebody was like, hey, you should check out this app. It's Sam Simpson. I like saying that. Sam Simpson. It's like lots of Sam Simpson. So he was like, you need to check out this app. And I did. And I was like, brother, how right you are.
What is it then?
Well, I'll go. Okay, I'll find it.
Since I built it up,
I'll go first. So, full disclosure, this app isn't available to everyone yet. It's in beta, and I don't have the beta. In fact, I've never used it.
What? How can it be a fave?
Once I describe to you what it does,
okay,
you'll understand. It's called Bikini.
You
tell it who your friends on Facebook are, and then it goes through their profiles and pulls out all of the pictures of them in bikinis. Who wins Faves and Raves this week? This guy.
You can like download the pictures to view later and stuff.
Yeah.
Like.
My favorite part about it is it like I was reading the page. You can go to pikinis.com, and it touts this thing like it's a social media application. It's like Bikinis is the iPhone app that automatically finds swimsuit photos of your friends on Facebook.
I've always needed that.
Yeah. And you can meet new people on their network, city or in your city or on your campus. But all it does is it scours people's Facebook pages and looks for pictures of them in bikinis. And I want to bet you right now that if I used it on Leander's, I'd find at least one of him wearing a bikini.
I think it's Alex.
It probably set to private. Yeah. We'll definitely find one of Alex E. Excelsior Heath. Because what you guys don't know about him.
Sometimes he cross dresses.
And by sometimes, yeah. I'd say
like
80%
weekend.
Of the time. He cross dresses as often as Siri misunderstands me.
So, but what's this going to do with iOS? It's a Facebook app.
Oh, is it? No, it's an iOS app. What are you talking about?
What?
Yeah. It's just you can't use it yet. It's an iPhone app that automatically finds swimsuit photos of your friends on Facebook.
It's super useful, Leander.
He's trying to download it. He missed the part of me saying it's in beta. You can't download it yet. He's like, oh yeah, what's it called? No, I'm on the webpage. I don't see it. How do you download it?
Well, there's a bikini group. I'm looking here now. Bikini on Statagram on Instagram, right? So
yeah. Why are you looking at Instagram right
it's
now?
It's just like this is stupid.
Okay. All right. Wink, wink. All right, Leander.
Yeah, I'm not fun for that.
All right. Okay. No, I know. You're just fronting. Buster, what's your pick?
Okay, I'll go. Let's see. Mine is Snapchat.
Yeah.
Good
pick.
Mine is actually just it's a stupid app. It's a simple app called Square Ready.
Yeah.
And it just makes it so that, you know, if you want your... Like, I don't usually like all the apps for Instagram where, like, create a border and all that stuff. But this app is, Charlie told me about it. Like, if you have a picture that, you know, you want to get more of the frame in on Instagram and stuff, you know, you can use it to, like, create borders so that it's, like, perfect for the Square and Instagram already.
Oh, interesting. I was actually searching for an app like that, and I found one that was similar. What did you say it was? Oh, Square Ready. Yeah, that's the one I downloaded.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's super easy to use, like really basic and stuff, but yeah. Like, does what it does really well, which
surprising
is
that there's not very many apps out there that do that.
Yeah, not well, you know. They usually have like really gimmicky borders and like, oh, you can put them into these different tiles, and I don't want that. I don't want like hearts and stuff like that. I just want, you know, my regular photo to, you know, be fit for the square frame on Instagram.
So I probably shouldn't do this. It's going to help you, but so basically what your app does is, because you know how Face or on Instagram, usually it let you like shrink your photos down so that they fit in that square before. And now they don't do that. They blow up your image to make it only part of it fit in the square, which, as you know, sometimes you want to post an image that's rectangular.
Right, which I don't like doing it that often. But, I mean, if you have to and you're like, oh, like it definitely helps your photos.
Some photos need to be displayed in their original aspect ratio.
Right, exactly.
They just don't look good when you make them square. Not every photo needs to be square.
Right.
So, hey, good pick. Leander... I already know you're gonna vote that you're gonna say your favorite app is Bikinis. So let's just vote.
I'm checking out the bikini tags right now. Let's just vote.
Let me just have my moment of glory, and we can end the show.
I hate to say it, but you're doomed because I got a Sonos Play Bar.
What? Okay.
You're using that? You can't use that when I have an app. Man, I just, yeah, you're right. I got demolished.
Sonos Play Bar?
Yeah.
Is this new?
It is new, yeah. And it actually was hard to get. They were getting snapped up all over the place. I got in just as I got a delivery, like just by coincidence. You know, they just got out, they had a box of them in the middle of the floor. And I knew that Tracy was going to castrate me if I bought one, but I just, you know, like the guy was telling me, oh man, you know, these are going to be gone in a minute, you know. I thought.
Okay.
So I just snapped it. I just went down to get some paper at Best Buy. And
you got suckered into buying this soundbar by some pimply teen. Sir.
I went home and I lied to Tracy. I said, oh yeah, no, they sent it for review. It took about,
I love that.
It took about an hour before she found out.
Yeah, you made it an hour, huh?
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. She found out later that night, and like I said, I was virtually castrated anyway.
Oh well, tell us what it does.
Well, it's you know, Sonos makes these great digital speaker systems. They hook up to a wireless network.
Yeah,
and you can put a couple around the house, you know, and they play. It's great for streaming music and for iTunes and for playing, you know, stuff from your iTunes library, but also like for digital radio. And I got a Spotify subscription, so you know, you can play Spotify through this thing. And this thing's on all the time, you know, like we the kids play it now, and we have music on them all the time at night when they're doing their homework and stuff like that. So yeah. There's always music playing through the house. It's great. And this thing, the Play Bar is the one they made for the TV. It's like a TV soundbar.
Okay, so this is different than all the other ones they've released.
Yeah, right. So it's not one of those little. It's not one of the little, you know, the little room, the bookshelf systems. This is like it's like a long bar, and it's got like I think 9 speakers or something like that. And you put it in front of your TV, and it's supposed to be one of those ones where it simulates surround sound, so it can throw sound behind you, like a 5-1 system or whatever. I don't know if it actually works that well. but for that anyway, but for the rest of it, it works great. You know, like the sound coming out of the thing is awesome. It sounds really, really good. And you can use it, you know, to play sound through your TV, or you can use it to play music as well. So now, you know, we've got music coming in the living room through this thing. But it integrates really well with the TV. Like it's really, really well designed. And we had a soundbar before with a subwoofer, and it sounded great when you turned it on, but you had to control it separately with the stupid, you know, remote. And I could never get it to. I've got one of these Logitech Harmony remotes. I can never really get them to work properly together. Mm-hmm. So it was a pain, you know, like to use this thing. But this thing works really, really well, and it's smart. So if you start music, it turns the TV off, and it has all these clever features. Like at nighttime, you can turn the bass down so that it doesn't, you know, wake everybody up in the whole house. when you're just watching, you know, like Letterman or something like that.
Dude, you love this thing.
I was really, really, yeah.
We got to put a time limit on this segment.
I was really like,
we're gonna call it the Leander Rule.
I've always loved music, and I always loved stereos. And the one thing, you know, like I've always had, you know, the one thing that I've always been obsessed with, apart from computers, I guess, you know, was stereos. And having a good music system, and this is by far the best music system I've ever had, ever.
Wow!
It's not the best fidelity, right? You know, I mean, like it's definitely audiophiles. I'm sure would turn their noses up.
Oh, absolutely!
Not like,
yeah,
yeah, like you know, super high end speakers. But I don't care. You know, like it's good enough, and the sound. And when you got the whole, you know, because we've got like three or four through the house now, and it's a small house. So when you got them all on, it sounds awesome. You can walk through the whole house, and the whole place is rocking to music. You know. But it's just like the ability to get any music you want at any time, you know, and the convenience and the ease of use. It's just beautifully done. It's a really great system.
Jeez.
Anyway, should I stop now?
I'm voting for Buster's. even though I was going to vote for the Sonos, I'm voting for Buster's.
You know what? I'm just going to vote for just the listeners for sitting through Leander's speech there.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
But seriously, Leander, bikini. I know you've been trying to find it for the last 10 minutes.
No, I already had it. I'm looking at it now.
Ooh la la.
Bikini's a big tag. There's tags, bikini tags everywhere.
I mean, it's just like a totally tasteless app, but it's one of those apps that, you know, as soon as they release, it's going to go like straight to number one.
Oh my God, this is something that John Brown is going to be writing about next week.
Yeah.
Remember that Stalk, what was it called?
Yeah, the Girls Around Me app.
Girls Around Me, yeah.
He's got this new app that he was obsessed with today, some like pickup artist game, like where you're, you know, trying to learn how to become a pickup artist in game form.
Pickup artist?
Yeah.
What does it even mean?
Like pickup chicks, man. Like
there's an actual phrase, a pickup artist, that's like the phrase. It sounds like what a company would call their like moving people.
Oh, no.
You know, it's like they don't have movers, they have pickup artists.
Yeah.
Who move all your stuff professionally.
That's actually a really good idea, too.
It's like a sandwich artist. All right. Well, so I'm voting for yours, Buster. Buster, who are you voting for?
Yes. I'm actually going to vote for Leander's just because I used to have a Sonos player.
Yeah.
I don't have the bar, but it sounds awesome.
Dang like, it.
Great
Leander.
I mean, you used to. What happened to it?
I don't have it anymore.
Oh, I see. I said not saying. Your girlfriend took it or something?
No.
Don't pry. Don't pry.
Okay, yeah, we won't
pry. You
don't want to
know. Leander, who's yours? Who's your pick?
Can I vote for myself?
No.
Sure, but your vote will be invalid and it will immediately be disqualified.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Woo! Even when I have... I honestly thought bikini was a shoe-in.
I thought so, too, actually. I'm going to give you that one. Yeah. I would have chosen it, except, you know... Leander deserved it.
Not really.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I think we should probably wrap it up there, yeah?
Yeah.
The last 20 minutes is Leander waxing on about his sound bar and how much he wants to take it on a vacation. He wants to put it in a bikini and then search for bikini for it. Jeez. We're about to get into some kind of erotic, weird story there. So hey, definitely head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. Enter for your chance to win the ICEO doll from Throwboy. I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show. Go to squarespace.com/cultcast to build your professional website now. That's all the cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to talk more with us, you can do so on Twitter. Buster's PST3R, Leander's L. Caney. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And of course, for all the best news and reviews and how to use the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next time.
Okay, cool. All right, nice one.
I'm glad you were able to join us, Leander.
I just put the first four chapters in. I got to do 5 and 6 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then 8, you know, through 10 by the end of the week, and then the last two early next week. So.
Oh, so you're almost done, right?
Yeah, yeah. This fucking thing, Christ Almighty.
Leander, what's the coolest thing that you've learned about Johnny Ive thus far?
Well, you know, like how they work, I guess. You know, I think, and the fact that he's really been the sort of the main, or the team anyway, that's been the product factory for the last 12 years. And Jobs, you know, of course, had his input and was a superb executive. Like, he made great executive decisions and provided them with great focus. You know, like, mm-hmm. he was like, you know, his whole plan initially to come out with just 4 computers, and then, you know, slowly sort of add the iPod and these mobile products, you know, carefully, cautiously putting their full weight behind them, you know, was great. But all the products were dreamed up, you know, way down in the organization. Were you laughing?
No, I was coughing. I'm still.
Oh, okay.
I'm laughing. Leander's ready to fight you. Are you laughing?
I've been trying to hold back this monster cough, and I couldn't contain it anymore.
But I don't know. You know, like the trouble is I don't know if anyone really wants to hear that story, because it's like, you know, who wants to burst the Jobs myth? Who wants to burst that bubble? I mean, I think people prefer the mythology than the sort of, you know, the fact that there were lots of cooks. It's not that great, you know, like...
Do you mean Tim Cooks? Or are you talking about cooks in the kitchen?
Yeah. Well, Cook, too. I mean, you know, Cook, everyone... It's strange. That place gets, like, you know, Tim Cook has been, you know, he's supposed to be the operations genius, but it looks like Johnny and the industrial design team drove a lot of that, too. Hmm. I mean, the reason they went to China, they got involved with Foxconn, had a lot to do with the fact that they were doing aluminum. Because they were working with LG and a bunch of Taiwanese contractors. So their supply chain was actually in Taiwan and South Korea. And they went to mainland China mainly because Johnny wanted to do aluminum products. And the aluminum supply chain was in China.
Wow, so they moved the entire manufacturing process there?
Well, slowly, you know, like it's almost product by product until Foxconn ended up, you know, taking over more and more. It was very organic. Which is kind of surprising. I mean, at least I was surprised. I mean, I got a bunch of inside stuff. I mean, we got to talk to some of the product design engineers who are the guys that work with them on the manufacturing, and with a couple of the designers who were telling us about all the, you know, the sort of stories of some of the products, like the iMac G4, you know, all the trials and tribulations they went through to do that. I mean, they're starting that in 2000. Which is like right after they came out with the original iMac, and took them years to get it to work. You know, they tried all kinds of crazy stuff. They had this weird spine thing that they could never get to work quite right.
Did you say spine or spying?
Spine. They tried to give it this really, really complicated vertebrae.
Okay.
That they couldn't get to work. They ended up going to IDEO. They outsourced it to IDEO, which is a design firm in Silicon Valley in Palo Alto. And they actually were the ones who suggested that like Luxo lamp type mechanism, but they wanted like a real Luxo lamp. They wanted two arms on it. And it was actually Jobs who suggested they just do it down to one.
But that really was a good looking Mac.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And that was a big, I think that was, you know, that was like when people really sort of took notice, like, oh my God, Apple's really, you know, committed to design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that helped cement his reputation, even though they discontinued it after, like, you know, what was it, one generation?
I bet you your book's going to be big.
Yeah, I hope so.
You're going to be rich. You're going to be rich. Are you going to admit that you know us or what Cult of Mac is once you
Hell
make it
no.
to the time? I didn't think so.
You too.
Probably a smart move.
I'm out of it, baby, yeah.
You're just going to freaking house swap all life long. Move around, except all the houses will be your own. Leander doesn't even wear clothes anymore. He just has a Speedo on all the time. He has a golden teacup.
That's right. I can't wait for that.